hope, done sensibly, is that the incentives for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenue.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
Hi, it's Sean Williams in for Steve Bertrand. Steve's away this week. He'll be back on Monday. You hear me weekdays from 1 to 3 and Saturdays from 10 a.m. till 12 noon on social media. I'm WGN King John, and I also host a podcast here called The Mincing Rascals. If you type that or say that to Spotify, The Mincing Rascals now come up. That's new. We're kind of excited about it. Don't miss The Mincing Rascals. Judged by the Headliners Club to be the best podcast in the city of Chicago. Certainly one of the best financial talkers in the city of Chicago is Terry Savage, the nationally known expert on personal finance, the markets, and economic policy. She joins Steve Bertrand each week. She's in the studio today. Terry, nice to see you.
And how much fun to be in here with you. This is cool.
It is nice. And as always, it's a great view, even on a lousy day. By the way, Terry and I were doing off the air what we did briefly on the air yesterday. Oh, my God, John, you've got to watch. And you said, oh, my God, John, you've got to watch.
Well, I'm in the middle of Ozark now, but, you know,
Ozark is good.
That it's a financial guy washing money. I mean, this is, you know. I mean,
oh, really?
Right,
is that your interest in that?
Because money.
It's a financial guy who washes money and goes to the Ozarks and bad things happen. So.
Yeah, well, let's not spoil it, or The Bodyguard or whatever, or yeah. Bosch. Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about socially responsible investing. In a piece you just posted on your site, you said that $1 in $4 are invested with some sort of broader picture
in
mind.
It's astounding. About $8 trillion in the U.S. is invested with some sort of what they call it ESG, environmental, social, governance criteria. It used to be kind of a cute fad that people would say, well, I don't want tobacco companies in my portfolio, or I don't want to buy gun manufacturers. But now there are so many screens and there are so many mutual funds that say we focus on socially responsible investing principles. And, you know, there are ETFs, exchange traded funds. Vanguard's got four of them on various aspects. But something new just happened, and someone sent me a bit about it, and I said, this is a story I want to tell. There's a company called New Day Investing, and they want to take socially responsible investing to a new height. So they created an app called New Day Impact. And in fact, this is all in the column at terrysavage.com. So if you're driving, you don't have to write it down. Just go read the column on socially responsible investing. But the New Day Impact app, or you can go to newdayimpact.com
New
to
Day,
learn
one
about
word,
it.
By the way.
Yep, exactly. They have created six portfolios around socially responsible investing. Well, that's not so special, actually, but the ocean health, fresh water, animal welfare, gender equality, climate action, and global impact. And they've set up these funds, which they adjust based on your risk tolerance. So you go through a little bit of that online. You can start with as little as $5 to invest in these portfolios like mutual funds, adjusted for stocks and bonds according to your risk tolerance is. So yes, you get exposure to these companies, but also for each one, there's a web page that's coming up now. They're just starting. I'm probably ahead of the gun. And you're going to learn about all these causes and what organizations help them. And they take a portion of the management fees for these funds and actually invest them, give them to organizations, NGOs around the world that work on water or climate.
How do they
whatever.
Perform?
Well, this is just starting up, but they've got actually, in general, there have been some studies done about all this money, and there's no negative impact because you've screened for socially responsible investing. They are going to vote the proxy statements. You know, every shareholder gets a vote. You don't think about it, and yours is in a mutual fund, and they vote it. But they're going to vote for, you know, things on the shareholder proxy that are socially responsible.
Is something like Apple neutral? I mean, would they be in that, or would they be in things that specifically sound environmental or socially conscious?
Well, that's an interesting question about the screen, because you will be able to look and see what the companies are in the water portfolio or whatever. And they're not necessarily just do-gooders. They're for-profit companies.
Yeah.
That are working in these areas who have agreed to abide by socially responsible principles. So it's not that they are only doing social good projects. They're companies, it's capitalism, free enterprise. They're in it to make money, but they're doing things the right way.
Well, if I'm in a Schwab family of funds, are there ETFs in there?
Oh, yeah. Sure. If you're a Schwab, you can go on the online brokerage firm at Schwab and buy any of the ETFs. The best place to learn about exchange-traded funds and socially responsible investing, Morningstar.com is just, you know, they're here in Chicago. They're just like the world's treasure trove of information on anything investing. They just put out a big report from which some of these facts came on socially responsible investing. And you can screen for mutual funds or ETFs that follow SRI, socially responsible investing principles.
Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. By the way, before we pick up some phone calls and take some texts, give me your market update here. What are you seeing?
Yeah,
what's happening today?
The Dow is down 165. Everybody's holding their breath, waiting for the Fed, and the market would probably be unchanged, except the president came out with conflicting signals on his China deal. The tariffs will stay on forever because we don't trust him, although there are other reports that the tariffs, you know, a discussion about trade is moving ahead, and then there's Brexit in Europe. And bottom line is slow volume today, and the Dow right now down 165.
You know how the market always factors things in, so sometimes something happens, and they'll say, well, the market's already anticipated that. You'd think the market would already anticipate that the president every day is going to come out with something that might conflict with either what he said the day before or what other members of the administration say. Just figure that when Donald Trump's talking China, for instance, that you're going to get mixed signals, and the market, therefore, this is me being king someday, shouldn't overreact to whatever he says on any given day.
You know, these days, 150 points isn't much of an overreaction.
Really? That's not much, is it?
No.
Let's pick up Terry. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Terry. You're on the air.
Hi there. Hi, Terry. My question, in light of all the things you just mentioned that affect the market, what do you think the Mueller report is going to do to the market? I've had some friends tell me it's a good time to get out.
Well, if you're a trader, that's one thing. But America survived more than the Mueller report. And you know, if you're a long-term investor, these are not the kinds of things, the day-to-day political things that shake you out. I mean, I just don't think that's a market factor. It'll be interesting, and there'll probably be some kind of reaction, but that's not the Mueller report is likely not to impact the economy unless something really dramatic comes out about the president.
Is this what you're thinking, Terry? Your friends are saying that it'll so rattle the administration that Donald Trump will no longer be president, and therefore the markets and everything will suffer. Is that the dominoes you're worried about?
My fear is that it'll blow things up.
Yeah, well, you know, I was sitting there thinking, what should I say? If the Mueller report comes out with definitive grounds for impeachment of the president, I think there's a great deal of doubt whether they could indict him as a sitting president. But if it came out that there were grounds for impeachment or a likely conviction after he is out of office, that could throw things up in the air and change the trend of the market for a while. But I think right now we're concerned more about how money moves markets and money in terms of trade, money in terms of the Federal Reserve and their policy. I may live to eat these words, John, but I just don't think the Mueller report has more than a 2 or 3 day ripple effect.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, Terry, thanks for the phone call. What about income tax returns for people? What's going on there?
Okay, so an interesting thing happened. We had a tax cut at the beginning of the year. So the federal government, you know, you're paying less taxes, so they adjusted your withholding downward because paying less taxes. So your withholding went down. But one of the things, and the idea was more money in your paycheck, let's all go spend, and we all did go spend. And then we forgot about the fact that now, especially here in Chicago and in Illinois, but New York too, they've limited some deductions. And one of the big deduction limitations is that now on any return, whether it's a joint return or single, you can only deduct $10,000 worth of combined now property taxes and state income taxes. Well, if you're in a two-income family with nice incomes, maybe it is that you're making, and your property taxes in Illinois are only going up, 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 up. Suddenly, you're losing some of your deductions.
$10,000?
$10,000.
That's the most you can deduct?
Yeah, so suppose you have a house here and you have a house up in Lake Geneva.
Suppose you have a house in Western Springs. You're paying more than $10,000.
Exactly. So the point I'm making is that is no longer a deduction. That means you have less deductions, so you owe more in taxes. And just now, as people are getting their tax returns done, they're finding out, no, what do you mean? I always get a check for $1,500 back in late March. I use that to pay my credit card bills off and get even. No, not this year. This year, you'll either get a smaller refund or you might even owe taxes.
Let's pick up a phone line for Terry Savage. John, you're on WGN. You're on the air.
Yeah, Terry, I've heard Steve Bertrand talk to, I'm trying to think of the financial guy, but he talks about, my wife is a retired teacher, and I've heard him a couple times say that if you're a state employee, you should take a lump sum of your retirement versus doing the annual payout. I don't think it's possible to take a lump sum in Illinois, is it?
You stumped me. I don't think so. There are some actually, I know there are some state retirement programs that okay. do let you take a lump sum. And I think one of them is for physicians at hospitals that are University of Illinois connected. So it, okay. I think it depends. I've never seen
Were that possible, teachers. Would you like that strategy?
Well, you know, what the question really implies is the state of Illinois going to be around to pay the pensions? And I, yeah. you know, I once got stopped by a cop. I just maybe was going a little too fast. And I said, you know, your real problem isn't that I'm 10 miles over. Your real problem is that you're not going to get your pension. He said, what? By the next thing I know, he had his partner over there talking to me through the window of the car. It looked like I was being arrested.
Did that help, by the way?
Yes.
Did that?
And this was a number of years ago because I've been talking about this.
I'm going to try that sometime.
We have all the most important people, that our firemen, our police, our teachers, and so forth. And Illinois' pension is like the first or second least funded in the country.
Yeah, no.
We can't change
that.
The pension benefits.
I know that, but not to be too political here. Thank you for the call, John. But do you think that that's a pill that the state employees are going to have to swallow, that we're going to have to change the Constitution so that we can reduce their pension payments?
Well, here's the thing. A city can go bankrupt, but even when Detroit went bankrupt, they didn't adjust the pension payments. A state cannot go bankrupt. A state is a taxing body, a sovereign taxing body, according to the law, and I've spent a lot of time looking at this and writing about it. They can't go bankrupt. So the only way, unless the Constitution is changed, is they have to raise taxes. And that's what you're seeing in Springfield. It's what you're seeing in property taxes in the city of Chicago. And so far, it's just a dent. The problem with raising taxes is the people that can afford to pay them can afford to move. And you're seeing that happen.
Let's try and get a short question in, if you can give us a short answer. Okay. It's a giant area, but I just know it's of such concern to so many people. I want one more voice on this. Randy, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Terry, I have a house in Peoria, and my property taxes on it are $6,000 a year, and then I have a rental property in California and one in Peoria. So that brings me up to my $10,000 in property taxes. So when it comes to the state tax, where does that come in as far as filing?
Okay, I'm going to give you a quick, simple answer. The simple answer is, if you own those, and if you own them for personal use, you would have deducted the property taxes, and you would try and deduct your state income taxes from your job and you would be limited. But because those are rental properties, you need to talk to either go through TurboTax and do the rental real estate calculation, because there may be a way around a little bit of that because those are rental properties and deduct that against the income.
I got a sick feeling in my stomach, and I think a lot of us do, because I always thought that the people who are in a tax bind right now were just spending frivolously, but they've just been spending the extra money in their paycheck. They haven't been overspending. The problem is they're losing the deductions.
They're losing the deductions.
And
yeah. Now, there's a higher standard exemption, and you know, $12,000 a person, $24,000 a couple, if you don't itemize. And the charities are worried about that because people are going to take
absolutely.
That higher thing, and so they won't bother contributing and writing off to charities. So there was a major change in our tax code. It was sold as a great benefit. And to some extent it is, but for a lot of people, it means you're going to pay more. Get your taxes done early this year, and don't be surprised.
TerrySavage.com. Her latest is on socially responsible investing. Terry, as always, thanks for coming in.
Good to be with you.
Hard to believe, isn't it, that baseball's first home game in Chicago will be, what, in a week and a day? Am I right about that? No, it's in 2 weeks and a day. Let's see. Major League Baseball doesn't open tomorrow. It opens next Thursday and then the week after. Point is, we got a lot of catching up to do in terms of warmth and sunshine here for it to feel like baseball weather, doesn't it? This is John. It's 12:37. I'm in for Steve Bertrand. Steve's in a warmer place. He'll be back here on Monday. And I'll continue today until 3. You hear me weekdays from 1 to 3. On WGN Radio. So in this segment, we visit a little bit with Frank Sennett, Digital Director of Strategy at Crain's Chicago Business. Frank, it's John Williams. How are you today?
Good, John. How are you?
Pretty good. I was just reading a piece that you or Bennett put in front of me. Homes are taking longer to sell, and here's one theory. And we can walk through that, but since Terry Savage was just talking about something that is also in this article. I wanted to segue to it, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And that says, upper-income people buying luxury homes are most likely to hold back until after they file their income taxes, said Mike Gobber, who is a Century 21st affiliated agent in Westchester and president of the Main Street Organization of Realtors. That's in part because they're taking a double whammy. They will be impacted by the new $10,000 limit on state and local taxes that can be claimed for a deduction, as well as the general revision of the tax code. This is exactly what Terry was talking about. That people say, wait, I thought I got a tax break. Why am I paying more on my taxes this year? And it's because you're losing deductions. You're not getting a tax break. And as a result, some people aren't going to buy houses until they figure out what the consequences of their taxes are this year, right?
That's right, and that's one theory why the average sale price, say in Oak Park, sold on average in 92 days in the first 2 months of 2018, and this year jumped by a month to 120 days. So we're seeing in the Chicago area a real slowdown in terms of the turnover, and the theory is that, you know, a big contributor to this may be this year, as people try to figure out what's the impact on them of the new tax code, they may be waiting. And especially if you're somebody who itemizes your deductions, so higher income folks, that SALT cap, the state and local taxes, as they call it, the SALT cap of $10,000 in high tax states like Illinois, New York, you know, was targeted at, a lot of people thought, at blue states. You have to see what's the impact. Am I going to get the same refund I got? Am I going to get hit with a lot higher tax bill? And that would impact possibly when you decide to buy a home.
Does that mean, though, that in areas where the property is less expensive, people are, the market time is less?
I think that certainly at the higher price points that the slowdown is much greater. But it's an overall slowdown. But I think, yeah, at the $500,000 and above, and certainly $1 million and above, you are seeing some slowdown right now.
Well, I did see in the Rodkin piece, for instance, in Will County, which is a big county, but probably homes not as expensive there as, say, in the North Shore, that the market time is less. I don't know if it's always that way, but Will County homes are on the market for about 90 days as opposed to 120 days.
That's right. So, and just only a few days longer than last year. And, well, and actually in DuPage, the average time is shorter than last year, and that's the only one of the taller counties where that's true. The difference is 3 days, so it's pretty much held steady. Everything else has gone up a little bit to a lot.
That still sounds like a lot to me, 3 months. It would seem to me like if your home was on the market, I guess it depends on the home and the market and the location and a million factors, but if your home after 3 months was still on the market, it would seem to me like you've got a serious problem here, and yet that's...
You may need to reprice, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but in fact, you're telling me that's the average time a house is on the market. I guess people are more patient than I thought, or more able to wait for that buyer than I thought, because 90 days sounds like a long time to me.
Yeah, and 120 seems like a heck of a long time.
Think about that. I mean, that's 4 months, and you're trying to move. Sometimes you don't have the luxury.
Yeah.
There's also this Greg Hines story, plan to triple real estate transfer tax gets big backing. I'll just read the first part of this. A major Chicago civic group is throwing its support behind a plan to more than triple the size of the city's real estate transfer tax on many sales. It'll make a lot of money for the city, but having purchased a condo a couple of years ago where you sit down and they say this for that, this for that, this for that, and you think, really? I don't think I'm getting value for my dollar here. This is just a soak. And they're going to triple it, at least in this one case, if they can, huh?
Yeah, so the Metropolitan Planning Council has come out in favor of this, saying it would raise $150 million a year. And one of the things that's different about the last time this kind of came out, it was a tax on, big residential homes was what was highlighted. And now this specific proposal would actually lower the transfer tax on the first $500,000 of sales price for residential and hold it at the current 1% on properties worth up to $1 million. So pretty much takes most folks in the residential sphere out of the race for higher taxes. but it would go up to 2.5% on values of $1 million to $5 million, and then above $5 million would be 3.3%, which is three times today's level, and it would really impact a lot of commercial real estate. So if you sold a $100 million office tower, you'd pay $2.3 million more under that proposal than you would today. So there'd be a lot of people, you know, when you talk about getting soaked, it would be pretty much paid by large transactions of in the commercial space.
Speaking of graduated tax rates, do you have much to say? Have you written much about the governor's proposal for graduated income taxes in the state?
You know, we've had some op-eds on it. It's certainly something that, you know, that is of great interest public policy-wise in terms of as a way, a mechanism to fill that gap on the pension shortfalls versus, you know, high-income folks wanting to protect as much of their money as possible. So, I expect it will be a fairly contentious issue for the next, legislative session or so.
I think a lot of people think the way I do on this. I'm okay with taxing more the rich as long as the definition of rich is $1 more than I made last year.
Exactly right. I think you're right.
Then by golly, that's too much. It's not fair. It's not fair. Go after them. You know, another area, though, that is just so intriguing is what marijuana will do for the state or to the state. I'm just intrigued by this whole sector of companies that are trading, publicly traded on marijuana stocks, and will they open up more stores in states, and what does that mean? I don't know. What are your thoughts about that whole arena right now?
Yeah, so I don't know if anybody in your listenership or if you watched Weeds back in the day, Mary Louise Parker on cable, it kind of ended on the note of legalized marijuana, and she, as the protagonist, was, you know, almost the Starbucks of pot. And it seems like we're seeing that play out as marijuana gets legalized for recreational usage. We're seeing tons of money pouring in to Illinois-based companies that are in the sector. Grassroots Cannabis, the latest to raise $90 million, more than double the amount it initially sought last year. And it's a Chicago-based company with 400 employees. And then we've seen, you know, Chicago-based Verano Holdings last week said it was going to sell to a Phoenix-based company for $850 million in stock.
Yeah.
Cresco Labs here raised $205 million before going public in Canada. It's just booming, and it does seem like, you know, we're going to have a normalization where it's just going to be a big corporate, setup just like the coffee shop business.
You can't put the genie back in the bottle. So once we go down this road, it'll never go back to the way it once was. And that about that point, I'm just a little bit nervous. I see all the upside, but I don't know that I can see the downsides. And I'm just worried that we're making this deal. And once we do, there's no going back, you know.
As you know, you stick around here long enough and the law of unintended consequences jumps up and bites you, right? So we don't know what we don't know. It'll be interesting to see it play out. It is a grand social experiment, to your point.
Frank Sennett is the Director of Digital Strategy at Crain's Chicago Business. Out of time, Frank. Nice to talk to you. You and Steve have a good conversation next week. I always enjoy it.
Thank you so much.
1246 on WGN.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. If you're planning on making a mistake in the near future and trying to fix it with a quick call to flower company FTD, you might have to rethink that strategy. The Chicago-based flower company is losing its petals and could be all wilted by the end of the summer. They might be going out of business. Why, you might ask? Well, they announced a revised credit agreement that forces them to pay a $217 million debt by the end of the year. The 109-year-old company is working to fight their way from the bottom and shed the title as Chicago's third worst performing stock last year. Only one way to go from there. Up. And Up Show is doing a good job of growing themselves, especially after they can excitedly say the company is $6 million richer. Chicago-based Up Show uses restaurant and event TVs that connects directly to social media posts related to businesses. People enjoy the food or service, they post on Instagram, bada bing, bada boom, it'll pop up on the TV in the restaurant. Incentive to post, happy customers, organic advertising, that's a win-win. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thank you, 1252 WGN. This is John Williams. I go 1 to 3 weekdays and Saturdays 10 to noon. Steve Bertrand's away this week, so I'll entertain you or inform you or or I'll stand here and do what I've been doing anyway. Bennett Wakenight's the producer. I sure appreciate his help. And nice to share the studio with some of the voices that we regularly hear here, like Seamus Toomey, the editor-in-chief at Block Club Chicago. Seamus, John Williams, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You paused as though you were thinking, well, maybe I don't want to be standing in this studio with John. Is that what that was all about?
No, this is wonderful. We moved our offices to about a block away, so this is about as convenient as possible.
Let's talk about two major projects that have really garnered a lot of attention in the city. One is the Police Academy, which you guys have been writing about and an object of considerable protest. The other one is the Lincoln Yards project. Compare and contrast those two in terms of the mayor's agenda and also the attention they get in the city.
Absolutely. Both these projects have been on parallel tracks, and in fact, the city council approved both of them on the same day within about the same hour last week. They both have huge investments of city money, Lincoln Yards coming from future TIF money, and the Police Academy coming from borrowing as well as some money, ironically or coincidentally, collected from the sale of land over by Lincoln Yards. So, I mean, a lot of the debate is this the best use of city money? Building an enormous development along the Chicago River on the north side for the Lincoln Yards project, or spending $95+ million for a police and fire training academy on the west side.
You think they would have placated the protesters of the north side development of Lincoln Yards if they'd at least integrated more lower cost housing into the project?
You know, that was certainly one way that they moved it forward. They added some more affordable housing to it. But no, that wasn't enough for the protesters. I mean, they were still adamantly against, you know, giving $900 million down the road from the TIF fund.
Oh, okay, but that was it. I mean, it wasn't the development per se then. It was more the use of the money. It was the TIF.
I mean, there are several things. I mean, there was a sense of it was getting rammed down people's throats as well. You know, we're trying to beat the clock here before Rahm leaves.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of different things. But, you know, that was...
Your microphone is not cooperating with you, is it?
You know, that's all right. I can hold on to
it. Hold on to it, yeah.
So, I mean, that was a big thing, that it was happening so fast. People were getting the plans the night before things were being voted on. It's an enormous development, and people were just upset that it was going so fast. And there's some displacement as well. I mean, it's mostly industrial land over there, but places like the Hideout, there's some other businesses over there that are getting pushed out. So it was all rolled together, but the TIF element is one of the more tangible things that people...
The Hideout is near and dear to some of us here. Is that going to stay? I think it is, right? No? Is it going to move? Do you know?
It's within the footprint, but it's not purchased. So, I mean, it could stay there. You know, the owner, Tim Tutton, is, you know, they want to stay there. So it could be just surrounded by high-rises.
You know how you see these cartoons of the giant development and the little old lady doesn't sell her home and there's just this little spot there where the house and the driveway and the dog are still on the front yard? That's going to be the Hideout to this project.
That's exactly how I envision it.
Talk about the Police Academy then, too. I mean, there was considerable protest about that again this week.
Right. There's been, there's been a very strong movement for years now, you know, called the No Cop Academy movement. And, some of the basics of that are, why are we spending $95 million on a police and fire academy when we've closed schools, when we've closed mental health clinics? Shouldn't that money be better spent doing that and getting to the root of crime that way, as opposed to building, as they say, a $95 million diving pool, which is obviously a simplistic way of looking at it.
Well, is it a zero-sum gain? If you don't do that, does, in fact, money then go to those other areas? I suppose you could argue that, but I mean, literally, if the mayor said, okay, fine, we won't put the money in the academy, would that much money necessarily go to schools or mental health, say?
Well, you know, some of the money's coming from borrowing, so, you know... Ultimately,
maybe not.
But I mean, ultimately, it's where you want to put the money. I mean, if they wanted to come up with switch that money over to the CPS budget, that could be done. But there's also this huge issue of dilapidated academy and lack of training that the Department of Justice flagged in their report about, you know, the problems with the Chicago Police Department. So I don't think there's a lot of argument that there needs to be more training. And part of that is better facilities. And, you know, there's also a question of whether $95 million is even enough. I think NYPD spent over $700 million on their academy. So,
well, then what's your position on the police academy and the use of that money?
Well, my position, you know, for our readers' sake, I don't have a position on this one because, we, you know, we're firmly, you know, just trying to report all sides of it. I can say the No Cop Academy movement it's been a very strong push for it, and they're getting much more energized in the mayoral race as well. Lori Lightfoot recently advocated for using perhaps some shuttered schools to close that had been closed in recent years as mini academies, and that did not go over well with...
But this is a done deal either way, right? I mean, no matter who wins the mayoral election, Lincoln Yards is going to be developed as it is, and the police academy is going to get built. Is that correct?
There are some more formalities to go through with Lincoln Yards. They have to actually make the TIF and approve it, but... as of now, both have been approved by the city council and would go forward.
Find out more at blockclubchicago.org, blockclubchicago.org. Seamus Toomey is the editor-in-chief over there, and they've got another good article about it today. It's nice to see you, Seamus. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.